It's always interesting to learn how the teenagers on From the Top attempt to introduce their peers to classical music, and I really enjoyed the segment on this week's podcast where we talk to a cellist on the show who uses Spotify playlists to do it. His choices are interesting and strategic. Also, check out the bombastic sister-brother piano duo on the show. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Enjoy.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, one of America's finest concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Welcome. Welcome, everybody. Today, we're coming to you from the Alexander Kasser Theater at Montclair State University in Montclair, New Jersey. A big thank you to Peak Performances at Montclair State for bringing us to this New Jersey town just about 45 minutes outside of New York City, 30 minutes as I drive. Montclair State University has a thriving school of music, the John J. Calley School of Music, and it so happens that the acclaimed Shanghai String Quartet is in residence at the school. They're going to join us in the second half of our program to play with two of the excellent teenage musicians featured on today's show, a movement of the Brahms Second String Sextet. But before we get to all that string stuff, we're going to start things off with the flute. Please welcome, from Wallingford, Pennsylvania, 13-year-old flutist Audrey Amata. Audrey, you've brought François Born's Carmen Fantasy to play, and I know you relish performing it. Tell everybody why.
Well, Carmen is just a really fun character to portray, and she's very va-va-voom and everything, and I'm just not, so it's really fun to be able to do that for a little while.
It's also, your lower range is a real growl, very sultry range, so when you're ready, we will va-va-voom from the top.
Thank you.
Audrey Amato, 13 years old, our flutist from Wallingford, Pennsylvania, performing François Born's Carmen Fantasy, based on Bizet's opera. Well, Audrey, not just wonderful sultry playing in the lower register and a lot of va-va-voom, I must say. I love the way that you're so flexible with the phrasing, and yet everything is so clear, and the intent is so behind all that freedom. So easy to follow. Such a pleasure to dance with you with that piece. So thank you.
Thank you.
I understand you started on piano, but not with lessons. You had pretend lessons. Why pretend lessons?
Well, when I first wanted to start piano, I was only about 3 years old, and I really wanted to start because my mom was a piano teacher, and I was just so jealous of all the other older students. I just had to have piano lessons of my own.
So how did that work?
Well, my mom and I decorated this little piano bag with my name on it, and I'd take the piano bag, and I would walk out the back door, and my mom would say,
"Have a good lesson, honey."
And so I'd walk out the back door and walk around the house to the front door, open the door, walk in, and say, "Hello, teacher. Did you have a nice week?" My mom would say,
"Hello, Audrey. Yes, I did. How are you today?"
Then we'd play a few random notes on the piano, and my mom would write something in my notebook. With a "thank you, teacher," I'd walk out the front door, back around the house, and back in the back door, where my mom would say,
"Hi, Audrey. How was your lesson today?"
And the best part of all that was is that I got a sticker from my piano teacher as a reward for the lesson and a gummy bear from my mom.
Wow, stickers and gummy bears. I never had lessons like that, really. And now here you are taking real lessons, but on the flute. I'm wondering, in your piano-centric house, how did you come to decide on the flute?
Well, that really also came from piano, because my mom accompanied a flute studio, and one day she had just a day full of flute rehearsals, and she didn't have a babysitter for me. So I just sat there, and I listened to all the flutes, and I was just absolutely mesmerized by it. And my mom noticed this, and so she and the flute teacher decided to get me a little rental flute.
I'm glad you chose the flute because you've done some great things with the instrument. Very precociously, you've already played in Philadelphia's famous Verizon Hall with a modest little orchestra not too long ago. Who was that?
That was the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Yeah, wow, great. So how did that go? What did you play with them, first of all?
I played the Doppler Hungarian Fantasy.
Oh, great flute piece, a show piece. And so how did they do? They do all right?
It was amazing. The experience is just incredible.
I'm guessing that you played with the similar freedom that you played with today. I hope that they allowed you that.
Yeah, the piece does have a lot of rubato already. And so I kind of feel bad for that conductor who had to pull that all together
then. Yes. It's tough, but as I said, the intent and the intelligence and the passion and the color behind your playing and the tone that you get out of the flute makes every note seem inevitable, one to the next. As I say again, a pleasure to follow you and a pleasure for all of us to hear you today. Thank you, Audrey.
Thank you.
Audrey Amato, 13 years old, from Wallingford, Pennsylvania. On stage now, a sister-brother piano duo who are both living and studying in Philadelphia, but who come to us from Surabaya, Indonesia. Janice Carissa is 16 years old, and her older brother Ryan Ferguson is 18. So, Janice, you've chosen a piece for piano four hands by a composer from your native Indonesia. What is the piece called?
The piece is called The Humiliation of Drupadi by Ananda Sukarlan, and he's an Indonesian composer.
Here's a little background for everybody, because while this composer is Indonesian, this music is based on the Indian mythical character Drupadi. Drupadi is described as an extremely beautiful and virtuous woman who's married to five brothers. In the tale of her humiliation, one of Drupadi's husbands loses everything, including Drupadi herself, in a rigged game of dice. Drupadi is dragged into court where her enemies call her a harlot, and they try to disrobe her. But the god Krishna intervenes, making Drupadi's sari infinitely long. Janice, there's an element of this piece where Drupadi is dancing in joy with that infinitely long sari. Isn't there? What are we hearing in that dance?
So that part of the dance would be basically an all over the piece, because the piece is all about like all these running notes, like the lady, the beautiful girl dancing, twirling around with her endless like fabric that covered her whole body. So it's going to be beautiful.
It's an extraordinary piece and a great performance. Let's have at it. 16-year-old Janice Carissa and her 18-year-old brother Ryan Ferguson performed Ananda Sukarlan's The Humiliation of Drupadi for piano four hands. And I just want to go on record for our radio audience that that performance was not time compressed to fit into our hour-long broadcast. That was the actual tempo that they performed it at. It was just breathtaking performance, you guys, and
thank you.
So
thank you.
So together and so beautiful. Now, like Audrey, our flutist who started the program, you both grew up hearing your mom teach piano, but yep. In the extreme, Ryan, describe your house.
Okay, so we were born in a musical family. My mom is a pianist. My dad also plays some piano. Both of us plays piano too. So my mom also teaches piano, and she owns some kind of music school. So we live like in a house with around 16 pianos. So... we hear like pianos almost 24 hours, like 90% of our life.
Wow. Yeah. 5,000 fingers of Dr. T.
Yeah, and it is also like piano oriented. Like we have a concert stage in the middle of our our home. And then the, I don't know how to say it, like
the perimeter of the stage.
Like, yeah. There's the hole in the second and third story. Mm-hmm. It's in the shape of grand piano.
Of course.
and also we have one room that's used for, we call it evaluation time. It's some kind, when we are going to have a competition, especially for the young ones, they are going to perform and there will be judges, and the room is in the shape of the piano key, so black and white, black and white.
Oh, okay.
It's really piano-oriented.
It's really amazing. It's truly amazing that you didn't decide to give up the piano.
Clearly.
A year ago, you came to this country to live without your parents in Philadelphia. Janice, you're studying at the Curtis Institute, and Ryan, you're at Drexel University.
Yep.
So how do you guys do on your own? Ryan, you have... completely different personalities, right?
Yeah,
well, keeping in our extreme comment about your house, I guess you would describe Janice that way, yes?
Janice is really wild and she's really extreme, so she's a little uncontrollable. Yeah, she's really extreme. When she's happy, she's really happy. When she's crazy, she's really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Janice, you told me that you kind of need Ryan to help calm you down.
It's true, because like let's have an example of me bragging to him, like I have a really long day, and then I brag to him for like about 10 minutes, and then all he said to me was like, okay, you're done, now have some tea and calm yourself, that's it. After 10 minutes of bragging, he just answered me in like 2 seconds, and then I just go to bed, I'm like, you know what, forget what I said, it never happened.
That's right.
Never
Excellent.
Happened.
So you guys, go have some tea.
Okay.
Because we've got more of your fantastic sibling chemistry to look forward to.
We've
asked you to return at the end of the show to play another piece. So we'll look forward to that. And bravo again. Our sister-brother piano duo, Janice Carissa, 16, and Ryan Ferguson, 18, from Indonesia, now living and studying in Philadelphia.
Watching Janice and Ryan perform shoulder to shoulder at the piano is such fun. We've got video of them and of all of the performers on today's show at FromTheTop.org. Over the last 8 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to FromTheTop.org to learn more. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our next young performer is a 16-year-old cellist from nearby Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey, Chase Park. Chase and I are going to perform Franz Schubert's Impromptu No. 3. Chase Park, 16-year-old cellist from Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey, playing the impromptu number 3 by Franz Schubert. Well, Chase, we always, as pianists, you know, we want to strive for a more singing tone in something like that, Schubert impromptu. So here you are providing it in all its glory. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Very beautiful performance. Chase, you have a great relationship with your teacher, Clara Kim, now, but it didn't start out that way. Talk about your relationship with her 4 years ago. What was it like at first?
I was such a stubborn kid, and I refused to listen to anything that my teacher had to tell me. I thought I didn't need her. And it got so bad that she threatened to throw me out of her studio and offered to introduce me to a teacher from a different studio. She was just so fed up with me. I don't blame her, honestly. Yeah.
Here's what Clara has to say.
So after about 5-6 months, I told him that he was not improving. You try different approaches when somebody's like that. You try being like almost threatening and then being very friendly, but nothing was working. And now Chase is completely like a different person. It's just the cooperation in the lesson is just immensely different.
Chase, how did your attitude towards Clara start to change?
I think there was a certain point in my life when I started to grow up and I realized maybe because she's my teacher, I should maybe listen to her. You know, she has more experience than me, so maybe I should just give it a try, and it worked.
So you guys laugh about it now, and
yeah,
things are
we
going well.
Laugh all the time.
Yeah, excellent. Outside of your cello studies, you say you have unusually cultured group of friends. You go to a very demanding school. You all take very high-end classes. So what else do your friends get up to?
They all play sports. They're very, very eclectic in music, and they're just very, very sophisticated in terms of culture. I was in physics class, and then one of my friends turned to me and asked, "Hey, do you want to go to the MoMA?" And I was shocked. I couldn't really believe that my friend actually asked if we wanted to go to the MoMA, because it's somewhere that I'd never really expected them to hang out. Mm-hmm.
But how cultured are your friends when it comes to classical music?
Well, they actually listen to a lot of different genres, but for instance, rap, jazz, blues, hip-hop, Korean pop, and classical music because of me. They started listening to classical music because of me.
And how did you get them into it?
Well, I think I was Facebook chatting with some of my friends, and one of them wrote to me asking if I could create them a playlist, and I wasn't sure if they were actually being serious or if they were just mocking me. But it turns out that they actually wanted me to make a playlist. So on Spotify, I created a playlist, and I told them that every day I would add a new track so that they could focus on that one particular track that I added that day, as opposed to adding 80 tracks at once and them being lost in the abyss of classical music.
Yeah. I understand that you actually, part of the selection process had to do with sort of the instant emotional connection of the choices that you made.
Yeah, I think that all of the pieces have they're very significant to me, and they touch me, and they touch my heart in a very different way, each of them.
Well, we love that idea of Spotify playlist to get your friends into classical music, because all of us classical music nerds, all of us who love the four B's, Bach, Beethoven, Brahms, and Buxtehude, we've thought about what we would play for someone in order to introduce them to or change their mind about classical music. So I'm really interested in your Spotify list, and I'd love if you could play us a couple of your choices. And while you do, tell us why you think this particular piece is a good way to hook people on classical music. We've plugged your smartphone into our system, so go ahead, this first selection. What are we hearing?
This is the second movement from Beethoven's string quartet, Opus 74, Harp. This was the very first piece I added to the playlist, I think mainly because it's so warm and it's so rich. That words can't just describe what this music is. I think that I wanted to sort of have my friends be exposed to music like this.
What's next?
So this is the theme from Schindler's List played by the 12 cellists of the Berlin Philharmonic. And I thought that it might be a good idea to sort of connect classical music with cinema. And I wanted to give them sort of a sense of classical music instruments, not necessarily classical music. So that's why I added this piece to the playlist.
John Williams, a wonderful composer in his own right. Okay, what's the third piece on your Spotify playlist?
This is the Domine Jesu from the Mozart Requiem. This is one of my favorite pieces because it just immediately from the very beginning of the piece, it just grabs you, it just grabs your attention, and then you just focus on it. And I thought, you know, it's a little hard to have non-classical musicians focus on music, but with this piece it sort of just grabs your attention and then you can't leave it.
And there's a certain grandeur, but as you say, it immediately catches your attention. It's not polite Mozart.
Right,
it really grabs you by the heart. Three great choices. Let's hear one more.
And this is the second movement of Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto in C minor. So some of my friends actually play piano, or they used to play piano, and so because they were familiar with the piano, I wanted to sort of bring them back home. And this movement of this piano concerto is like one of the quintessential piano pieces in the piano repertoire. So I thought, you know, maybe just give them something that they're used to. And it's so wonderful and easy to listen to. I thought it would be great for them.
An iconic performance by Van Cliburn, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So great, great choices all together. Chase, thank you for your missionary work with Spotify on behalf of classical music. And we understand you're going to be back on stage soon to play with the Shanghai Quartet. We're really looking forward to that. And thank you again for that beautiful Schubert. Chase Park, 16-year-old cellist from Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey.
For behind-the-scenes stories, features on From the Top alumni, and videos of our wonderful young performers making music and getting out into the community beyond the concert hall, visit fromthetop.org/blog.
Support for From the Top comes from this and other radio stations, and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts play a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians, as well as NPR listeners. From New England Conservatory of Music, where young artists and teachers are committed to transforming classical music, online at necmusic.edu. And from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, whose mission is to advance the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need, on the web at jkcf.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from the Alexander Kasser Theater on the campus of Montclair State University in Montclair, New Jersey. Coming up, the quartet in residence at the John J. Kiley School of Music here at Montclair State, the Shanghai Quartet, plays Brahms with two young musicians on our show. Today's show is made possible by the Office of Arts and Cultural Programming at Montclair State University. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. We just met Chase Park, one of the teenagers who will join the Shanghai Quartet at the end of the show. Now we're going to meet the 18-year-old who will be playing viola in that final number. Standing next to me is Jasper Snow from Houston, now studying here in New York. Jasper, tell everyone what you and I will be playing together.
We will be playing a piece by the fifth B in classical music, Bach, Beethoven, Brahms, Buxtehude, and Frank Bridge, who was a violist composer, English, from the early 1900s, and we're going to be playing his Allegro Appassionato from his two pieces.
The Allegro Appassionato by Frank Bridge, played by Jasper Snow, 18-year-old violist from Houston, now studying in New York. Just spectacular there. Wonderful playing there, Jasper. I understand this is a real staple of the viola repertoire. It's been recorded a number of times. You don't like listening to recordings of music you're working on, though, right?
Yeah. I kind of like to have my own ideas. I find them more organic, and even though they may not be as good as some of the other ideas that have been recorded yet. I'm working on that. I'm trying to find myself as an artist rather than kind of recreate any other violist, because chances are it won't be as good, you know, so I like my own ideas.
Well, your ideas come directly from the score, not from something you overheard or you're stealing something. Actually, the best example, I think, is the sort of the waxy buildup that has built up over the decades with the Rachmaninoff concertos. In my case, you have these little markings of ritardando in the Rachmaninoff score, and yet every pianist says more and more and more, and you go back to listen to Rachmaninoff play them, and the ritardandos are these little elegant, slight rubatos. So, good for you for stripping away all of that ill-advised tradition through recording. Now, instead of starting to play the violin at 3 or 4, which is typical, even in players that start, you know, start with the viola later, you picked up the viola right away. Why?
Well, I'm a purebred, not by my choice, but my mother's, who did not like the sound of 4-year-olds playing the E string of the violin. I mean, the A string, it's a little improvement, but yeah.
So you started out with the viola, you loved the mellow sound, and where did you go from there?
I kind of got more into classical music as an art form rather than the instrument itself, and from then I started practicing, and that's when I really got into it.
And I understand you've had a number of really illustrious and obviously quite wonderful teachers, and your goal is to continue that tradition. You want to teach.
Yeah, well, I think some of the biggest influences in my life have been teachers. I mean, certainly at Juilliard, the best parts of my week are my lessons, either with the TA or either one of my two teachers. And I think that one of the things about being a performer is it completely relies on what you're doing in the moment, and there's not really a lot of room for error or such. But with teaching, it's the exact opposite. It's generations of work channeling through you to a student, and that's really where the impact is made. You know, even if the child doesn't pursue, or adult or whatever, doesn't pursue music, it's still a significant impact on their life, and it's a synthesis of everything that people have taught you and that they have been taught, and adding some of your own stuff, and then you can pass that on, and I think that's really spectacular.
And as you say, you know, one lesson or one really great idea resonates through your whole life, and then you pass it along, and it resonates yet again. I got to say, though, I think you're a little bit modest, because I think you talk about performance as an in-the-moment event, and certainly it's wonderful to be in the moment, but I would venture to say that your playing has changed our lives in a wonderful, wonderful sort of effective way. Stay out on stage, Jasper, because you're going to join Chase Park, the young cellist we just met, and our guests, the Shanghai String Quartet, in the final movement of the Brahms String Sextet No. 2. Jasper, fabulous performance. We look forward to hearing more. Jasper Snow, 18 years old, from Houston, now studying in New York.
Podcasts are From the Top, featuring bonus content not heard on the radio broadcast, are available every week at fromthetop.org. Chris.
We've been leading up to this collaboration between the Shanghai Quartet, the quartet in residence at the John J. Calley School of Music here at Montclair State University, and two of our young players. So now it's time to hear the results of that collaboration. As the quartet is coming on stage, along with Jasper and Chase, we're going to speak briefly with Nicholas Tsavaras, the cellist of the Shanghai Quartet. Nick, welcome. What does a quartet in residence do?
We are the face of the string department and a big part of the Calley School of Music here. We teach individual lessons, we coach chamber music, we have a chamber orchestra which we run, and we play some concerts in this fantastic theater here at the Kasser Theater at Montclair State. Mm-hmm.
Now, long-standing professional string quartets can be really blunt with each other when they rehearse. Did you have to pull your punches when you were rehearsing with our young charges here?
I think they were slightly alarmed at the frankness that we speak to one another. But it's all in the name of, what is it in the name of? I'm not really sure, actually. Sometimes it's anger, and sometimes
music.
It's frustration, traffic. No, usually it's in the name of music and what we believe, but we have immense respect for each other. So,
and everybody seems to be still smiling. So.
Well, yeah, they're smiling now, but sometimes things change drastically. It's all in the right place, and it's important. Though we are very honest and direct with one another, we have, as I said, a lot of respect and collegial understanding.
And growth.
Yeah.
So here we go.
Yeah.
We've actually got video of you working with Jasper and Chase on our website at fromthetop.org. Can't wait to hear this. The Poco Allegro, the final movement of the Brahms String Sextet No. 2 in G. The members of the Shanghai Quartet are Weigang Li and Yiwen Zhang, violins, Honggang Li, violist, and our cellist, Nicholas Tsavaras. Again, they are joined by Jasper Snow, 18 years old, our violist, and our cellist is Chase Park, 16 years old.
Thank you.
The Shanghai String Quartet, joined by Jasper Snow, 18, and Chase Park, 16, the finale of the String Sextet No. 2 in G by Johannes Brahms. Now we're going to go out with that encore performance I promised by our outstanding sister-brother piano duo, Ryan Ferguson and Janice Carissa. Ryan, would you introduce the piece you're going to play?
Okay, so now we are going to play a piece. It's the Bach Toccata, but it is I'm improvised by an Australian composer. His name is Bradley Eustace, but we basically do a variation of his improvisation, so it's basically a variation of a variation, I guess.
Okay. A wild and funky way to end our show today. I want to thank all of our fine young performers, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Ryan and Janice, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley and Tim Banker, with music director Tom Vignieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from the May Family Foundation, supporting Fountain House, committed to providing opportunities for people with mental illness to live, work, and learn through a community of mutual support. More information is available at fountainhouse.org. And from Emily and Antoine Van Ochtmail, supporting New Futures, which works to help low-income D.C. area youth graduate from community college or certificate programs and become financially self-sufficient. Information is available at newfuturesdc.org.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org. And now for a little bonus content, my break piece from the show. This is Brahms's Intermezzo, Opus 117, No. 1.